Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast, you'll lose good people and you won't really know why, and you'll probably feel extremely frustrated.
It's easy to feel from time to time your team should be grateful for having a job or to blame them when things necessarily don't go according to plan.
It's like you pay them money, just do the darn job.
Why don't they just do things better?
How hard is that? Well, turns out it's kind of hard.
So it's quite a lot of things we got to be looking for. And this is not a 1 second conversation. We say, hey man, anything I've missed below the surface?
Good luck with that.
If you ask a bloke how you're going and he says it's going, he's about to drive head on into traffic. So
people don't leave their job, they leave their boss. So that can happen to you if you don't do this. Strong leadership isn't about just giving orders. It's also about understanding the thoughts, feelings, and struggles of your team. Now, the most successful business owners look below the surface to unlock better performance, stronger culture, and higher profits. Tune into this episode where we dig into what you need to look below the surface for with your team, what qualities you need as a leader to connect with them, and the key communication pieces that bring it all together. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started. Welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here with Phil Smith, my co-host and good mate.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good. Doing well.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, good and getting better.
I'm good. I'm great. Anyway, let's do it. Let's jump in. It's an important topic today, one I'm passionate about. I'm really keen to get into this, man.
Yeah, cool. Well, today, you know, we're talking about how time, money, and freedom require you to develop a strong and reliable team. Obviously, leadership is a huge part of growing a successful team. So it's easy to feel from time to time your team should be grateful for having a job or to blame them when things necessarily don't go according to plan. And basically think, why don't they just do things better, you know, and get kind of resentful in that way.
It is very easy to feel like that. Of course, you've never done that.
No. You as well, obviously.
Yeah, exceptional leaders. But, yeah, it's like you pay them money. Just do the darn job. Yeah. How hard is that? Well, turns out it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
And the reason is people are actually complex. But great leaders really understand that there is so much more to just getting performance and just paying wages and doing the work.
Yeah.
Like, it is. There is more to that. And I know if you're listening, you're probably thinking, well, I'm already working too hard. This sounds like this podcast is going to be hard work. And the good news is it is. And the bad news is it is, but the good news is that's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so this is important because good leaders, great leaders, they actually look below the surface and they go much deeper than the average leader. And they really, they figure out what it is that drives performance. And they do get better people. They get better performance. They get stronger cultures. And they get better employee retention. And all these things are critical for you, as you said, Phil, to get the business you want, which is one that gives you time, money, and freedom. And the freedom must come from having a great team so you can actually take time off and enjoy your life and know that your team's got it covered. And so today we're going to look at what does it actually mean to look below the surface as a leader and how can you actually up-level your leadership skills today. So I think this will be very, very helpful.
Nice, nice. And I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. Story of Herb Brooks. And he was ice hockey coach, and it's from a movie, Miracle on Ice. It's actually a true story. He was head coach of the 1980 US Olympics hockey team, going to the Winter Olympics. And the US team was made up of relatively young, inexperienced college players, and their biggest opponent was the Soviet Union, and they were just absolute weapons, unstoppable, well-trained, absolutely dominant force. And on paper, they were expected to crush the US team. Just no question about it. But Brooks was a kind of leader that looked below the surface, and instead of picking necessarily the most talented players, he built a team based on attitude and chemistry and mental toughness, and he really focused on players that he thought would be good under pressure, and he built a strong culture, and he really led them well. He defied the odds. They actually won the Olympic gold medal, which was an incredible achievement, and without him and his approach to leadership, they would have got smoked. And so he really understood what it took to win, what it took to perform well, and what it took to create a high-performing team. And it's a lot more than just picking people and expecting them to do the job.
Yeah.
And so a very powerful story. Good movie if you ever get to see it. But it applies to your business as well. The same sort of things.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose if we don't look beneath the surface as leaders, we can run into some big problems.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you will actually experience really high staff turnover. Like, you'll lose good people and you won't really know why, and you'll probably feel extremely frustrated. often people leave, it's not because of the money, it's because of how they've been treated or not treated. And, you know, it's often said that people don't leave their job, they leave their boss. And so that can happen to you if you don't do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second thing is toxic work culture. Like, you're not actually addressing the issues of, you know, low morale, poor attitudes, and internal conflicts and all that sort of stuff, because you're kind of just expecting people to sort the stuff out. You're not actually looking at what's actually going on, and this stuff just starts to run rampant, and people are at each other's throats, and that's really bad for business. So that can definitely happen as well. And then you get poor productivity. People are just not that motivated. They do the bare minimum. That affects, you know, the amount of work that gets done, the mistakes that get made out on site, out in the field. It affects your margins, your gross margin, which flows through to your net margin, which flows through to your cash flow. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lack of innovation and initiative as well. Like, people are just like, they just show up and just do the bare minimum because that's kind of all that's expected. They're just like, oh, we'll do what I'm paid for. I'm not going to do much more. That, you know, you feel a bit resentful. We actually feel very resentful as an owner. It's the kind of like, the classic is, there's a job that you've had to travel to, and maybe it's going to take another hour to finish, but it's 5 o'clock, so people decide to finish then and they come back for an hour the next day. That's not the stuff you want. No. That's the sort of stuff happens if you don't really provide the leadership and dig below the surface of how your people work. And this all comes together for a bad customer experience. You know, they're just not going to do what it takes to keep the customer happy. They'll do what it takes to kind of just get by. And eventually that leads to a lot of stress and burnout for you. You bring all these things together. You're the one pushing everything. You're the one putting 110%, and you're feeling that everyone else is putting in 75-80%. And they probably are.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate reality is, often it's not their fault. It's actually, I'm not saying it's your fault, but it's your responsibility to fix.
Yeah.
And so it really is really damaging if you're just paying people, expecting them to turn up and do their job to a high standard, that's it.
Yeah, well, it's not that transactional. So on the other hand, if we do look below the surface, and we can do this as a leader, we run into some pretty big upsides.
Well, I mean, that's the inverse of what we talked about. You will get people staying for a lot longer. You'll get excellent employee retention. That's a huge part of success, because the cost of turnover is somewhere between 50 and 200% of a salary or a wage, depending on the seniority of the role. You know, obviously, the less senior, the less cost. But if you're losing a key estimator or a general manager or an operations manager, it could be 200% of their salary by the time you get someone else and get them
trained up.
It's massive. You'll generate a great culture because you've got strong behaviors and productivity is reinforced by the team, not just the leader. Like, you know, the whole team will be actually pushing people to do better. Your senior tradespeople will be instructing your apprentices and your journeymen and your trade assistants about how things are done there, and they'll be giving them a hard time if they're not showing up properly or the uniforms aren't right. They'll be just telling them, hey, that's not how we do it here.
Mm.
That's what happens when you build a great culture and you look below the surface with the leadership that you're providing. Great productivity. People go the extra mile. They'll stay late to finish projects.
Yeah.
You know, just because it makes sense. There'll be a lot more initiative shown, people thinking about stuff. And ultimately, your clients will be taken care of, and you'll create a business that has the time, money, and freedom that you want and that you got into business for as well.
Yeah, so pretty much everything that we actually want, right?
Which is pretty awesome. This is so crucial, because team is critical and leadership is a critical part of getting the team you want.
Yeah,
so if you're not getting the team you want, the results you want, then we have to look at our leadership. And often it's because we are taking a transactional approach, in the sense that, it's no shade on anyone listening as well, because this is often not stuff we're taught.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, sometimes it's all we feel like we've got the energy for. But actually, to get it right, it does, you know, one, be aware of it, two, then we can start to do something about it.
Yeah, well, the bad news is that you've got to do something about it, but the good news is you can do something about it. So it's 100%. It's pretty awesome. So where should we start with this, man?
I think the first thing is that, let's be honest, most business owners struggle with team and leadership. And it's because we're not really taught how to lead. And it's because we're very busy and there's a lot going on. So, you know, if you own a business, a contracting business or a tradie business, you are, you know, potentially pricing work and doing work yourself sometimes if your business is still, you know, growing. Or maybe you are out of the field, off the tools. You're looking at clients. You're dealing with, you know, issues, overpayments, people not paying you, getting supplies, all that sort of stuff. Not to mention that you've got your own life and your family and kids and partner, etc. So there's a lot going on. So it takes a lot of time. And it feels like having to invest time in being a better leader is just something you can't afford to do because you haven't got it. The trouble is, the alternative is just constant poor performance and frustrations. And so you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And honestly, for most people, you know, if you're listening and you be honest with yourself and put your hand up if this is you, if it's not, that's fine. Our approach to leadership is you hire someone, you give them instructions, tell them what to do, you check in once in a while, you have the occasional beers and barbecues to try and keep everyone happy, and then you get really frustrated when things don't go well or jobs blow up or blow out or the clients are unhappy. And you kind of repeat that cycle. And that's the approach that a lot of us have to leadership, but that's a very surface-level approach. It's not going to give you the team that you want. And if you look at a business that has strong culture, great team, they'll do a lot more than this. So that's what we mean by looking below the surface, and that's what we really want to dig into.
Yeah, well, I think when we look at, you know, looking below the surface and what that means, I think, you know, it's really just that, you know, leading people, it's not just about what you see and hear, right? It's, you know, there's hidden motivators and non-spoken reasons for the way that people behave and what they do, you know, both good and bad. There's always more to it. It's kind of like that tip of the iceberg is what you see and hear, and the rest of it's all the reasons why, you know, you saw and heard those things. So, you know, when we're looking there, you know, what are the things that, you know, most leaders are going to miss is really the question that we need to dig into here. And
I was just thinking, I probably shouldn't say this, I hope Bronwyn's not listening, but, you know, if you and your partner have a frustration about something, often there's the kind of surface level to it, but if you actually need to sit and have a real discussion around what's going on emotionally and mentally to understand what's below the surface.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, you can try and help, but you just bugger it up, basically. I don't know if you've ever done that. Tell me you have, please.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody listening will have done that. Probably maybe even did it today.
That's right. That's right. So it's the same here, yeah. But what are the practical things we miss?
Well, I think firstly, like we miss clarity. And so, you know, this is clarity for us, but it's providing clarity to our team. So, you know, have we given them, you know, real clarity around success? What does that look like? What do I actually want you to do? And what does a good job look like? This is really important, and also clarity of process, so how to achieve that success, which I've now made clear. So if you haven't made any of that clear, you know, then what's going on beneath the surface when they get it wrong is that they had no idea, A, what they're doing, or B, even if they knew what they're doing, it's like what good looks like, what they're trying to achieve. I mean, how were they supposed to do a good job? I mean, it would have been complete fluke and luck if they'd been able to succeed without the clarity from you. So I think it's you need to be looking at that clarity piece first. I think that's really important.
This is huge because often we're like, well, it's obvious.
Yeah.
But it's not obvious to them. And like an example might be you've got a quality assurance process that you've got check sheets and stuff for the job. And you're like, well, they need to be done. That's fine. So the employee is like, well, that's cool. I'll do them on Friday for all of my jobs.
Yeah.
They're done. No problem.
Yeah, well, they had no idea what done looked like or what you expected.
Your expectation was that they're done at the end of every job in the field before you hop in the van or the ute and leave, which is a very different thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might even have gone to them and said, end of the week is not right. It needs to be way more frequent. We need it like daily, and so they do it at the end of every day. When you actually mean at the end of every job, it's like if you haven't been specific and clear, how were they supposed to read your mind? I mean, if you hire a mind reader, that's amazing. Can I hire them from you, please? Like, that would be great. It would be super useful. But to my knowledge, that person doesn't exist. So if you're not being clear, then that's the first thing that could be going on beneath the surface, you know, to sum up what you're seeing and hearing. Next thing is, do they actually have the right skills? And often we can miss this. We assume a lot, you know, and especially if you're, let's say, hiring someone new, come into your business and you read their resume, you know, their CV, and you're reading over it and you're like, well, they have all this experience. They should know what they're doing with X, Y, and Z, but they get out on site and it turns out there's gaps in their knowledge or there's gaps in their skill set. There's things they haven't learned before. And those could be, you know, what we call hard skills, like what you're doing with the tools. It could be soft skills in the way that they communicate with you, your clients, other team members, whatever. But thing is, did you test for those skills? Do you actually know that they knew what they were doing and how to do it? Because if you don't, then, you know, you could be sending them, you know, basically throwing them to the wolves with whatever they're doing every day because you're expecting that they're going to crush things they don't know how to do. And so in that case, you know, if you can figure that out and you don't miss it, you've got a pretty cool opportunity because you can retrain, you can, you know, get them upskilled, you can fill those gaps in their knowledge and they're now going to be a lot more successful. But if they don't have those skills and you've missed that, then it's going to be really, really disappointing on the other end.
Like I can think of an example recently where one of our members had, one of the team members, gas fitter, and they were used to installing a lot of gas appliances, and they got them to start doing some gas servicing work, and the person really had little idea
Yeah.
And it was a real struggle. But they never put their hand up to say that because they didn't want to feel like a fraud or a clown.
Which is really the next thing which could be living below the surface, which is confidence. I mean, again, it's funny, you know, we talk about situational leadership in a previous previous podcast, but you know, when someone's doing something, it's really, really important. Doesn't matter what the skill or the task is. It's like there's actually two factors to them getting this right. Number one is them knowing how to do it. And number two is them being confident in doing it. And if you consider when you first learn to drive, there's kind of two types of people. You know, you get to the same point with learning how to drive. Some people are overconfident, mm-hmm. probably confident past the skill that they actually have. And that creates all the people that are going to be an issue on the road. But some people are also underconfident. I think about, my sister was really like this. You know, she got to a point where she actually completely could drive, but she was pretty terrified behind the wheel, especially if she got onto the highway or something like that. And so you're actually confident below your skill level. But then there's also the confidence of speaking up to say that, or speaking up to say that you don't believe in your skills or whatever. And so there's kind of two parts to it. But if they're lacking in confidence, that's really going to affect the outcome of what they're trying to do, whatever it may be. And so firstly, they need the confidence in their ability. But secondly, the confidence to actually put their hand up and ask for help. And these can both be real struggles beneath the surface for your people. So I think this is important. And then, next one for me is mental health issues. I mean, like, there's all kinds of stuff that could be going on between someone's ears. And I think the key with this is that everybody has struggles that they go through from time to time, whether it's you get really anxious about things or whether you get really down on yourself. Like, there's so many things that could be going on for you mentally and emotionally. And I think, that's really going to affect the way that you show up at work. The relationships that you have at work, the way that everything goes. And, so if that's happening beneath the surface and you've missed it, you're going to be being disappointed with the outcomes from your team. But there's, often a lot more going on behind the scenes and things that you need to address if you want to expect that higher result.
And things like, personal relationships as well. If people are having challenges maybe in their relationship with their significant other, or they're having challenges with some of their kids or whatever, that all plays in. Physical health, if people are struggling with injury or whatever, you've got to be aware of that. I think a big one we forget about is opportunity and brightness of future. If people don't see where they're going, and you never talk to them about what their hopes and dreams are, and they don't see a way that they can improve, then you're going to lose them. And if you just get them to turn up to jobs all the time, paying their salary and thinking that's enough, probably not for good people. Well, it's not for good people. Praise and recognition as well. Like, praise is like watering a plant. It just grows and thrives. If you don't praise and recognize your team, they wither and die.
Yeah,
so that's important.
And I mean, that's a continuum. Some people are a bit like a cactus and they need a little bit of water now and then, but other people are not. Other people need constant watering, really, in order to function. And I think it's identifying that within each person. And they need the right amount of water in order to grow and thrive. One thing I wanted to add to physical health is, often when we think about physical health, we can focus on, well, are they injured, or, something like they got a bad back, or that wonky knee or something like that. But it's a lot more to your physical health. There's energy levels, there's how tired they are. Maybe they've got a couple of very young kids that don't sleep through the night, or right now, man, I'm potty training my youngest, he's sweet during the day, but at night, well, I've got to get up in the night and make sure he goes to the toilet, or otherwise we will have a wet bed and I'll be getting up anyway, but I've got to change the sheets as well. So hopefully that won't last too long, but does that affect your tiredness? Of course. And so again, it's one of those things where you don't know what's going on, and they could be exhausted. And that's why they're showing up, as a lesser version
like
of themselves.
Drop pie.
Yeah. There's so much more to physical health than just are they injured.
Yeah. 100%. This is an interesting one. Relationships with their workmates. Now, one of the key factors that helps with a satisfied, motivated, productive employee is that they have friends at work. And that doesn't mean it has to be their best friend, but there's people they really like, they connect with, and have a good time with. And so that's massive. If that's not there, that's something to put into the mix. And also, if their work colleagues aren't doing very good work, that's going to really upset the winners as well. They're going to hate that, As you've said before, Phil, nothing frustrates an A player than having to put up with B players,
Well, watching you tolerate B players.
Yeah, that's
worse.
Right. Yeah. So the quality of work, and I think meaningful work as well, like if people get a sense that they're involved in something bigger than themselves, they see what this company's about, that it's trying to do something that's meaningful, that makes it really different than just turning up for work. So there's quite a lot to that. from a practical perspective. It probably feels a bit overwhelming. We'll dig into how you can actually manage that in the future. But that is some stuff to really look for. And if you're not looking for that stuff, you're not really digging deep enough.
No, you're staying right on top of that water level and not seeing the rest of the iceberg. So should we talk about some of the qualities that an effective leader has to actually unlock this stuff?
Yeah, so if you want to be an effective leader, as I said, it's more than just the transactions. And the thing that is the characteristics that you'll have are, one, emotional intelligence. I found this fascinating the other day. I heard a stat that the top 1% of people are less intelligent than the next 10% of people in terms of success. Their IQs are lower, but their ability, their EQ, their emotional intelligence is higher. And what that means is they're aware of their own emotions, they're aware of other people's emotions and how the interactions between them, you know, play out. And so they're aware of how people feel and they can change where they're at to actually help people. And so that's a really important characteristic and skill of an effective leader. And related to that is, you know, effective leaders are really self-aware. So they're aware of where they're at when they're not in a good space. They're aware of the way that they interact with people. They're aware that sometimes the way they talk is more difficult for someone to hear and they might need to moderate that and do a different way. So that's important. And they're also very authentic. And so people love to know that you care. Like, that's actually pretty important for leadership. In fact, it's critical. If people don't think you care, it's going to be tough.
Well, why should they care?
Why should they care? And the best way to care is to actually care, is to actually be authentic. Yeah. And so that's important. And to be an active listener. If you're just a person who tells people and talks, that doesn't really show you care. It's not authentic. It's just about you. So you've really got to, you know, suspend your mouth. God gave you two ears and one mouth. So you kind of put that into play and really listen and ask questions of your team to figure out where they're at. And you take time to mentor and develop them. And so that is a priority for you. That's something you will actually invest time into, even though it's hard work.
Yeah.
But it's good kind of hard work because it actually moves things forward. So that's the characteristics of the leaders.
Yeah, cool. Well, look, in this case, I think we're probably ready to talk about how to get below the surface, like how to actually do it. And I think the first one for me is you have to actually make time. You're not going to find time under a rock. You have to make it, and this has to be a priority to you. So, you know, people should be your priority. Obviously, in this case, if you prioritize them, everything else tends to work better. Your people really are your business. So, you know, as far as making time, this is things like having a default calendar, you know, actually blocking out time in the week when you're going to speak to your team. And not just for a quick check-in, you need to allow enough time in those check-ins to get below the surface. As you mentioned earlier, there's quite a lot of things we could miss there. So it's quite a lot of things we got to be looking for. And this is not a one-second conversation. We say, hey, man, anything I've missed below the surface?
Because good luck with that.
They'll say, no, I'm good.
They'll be like, below the surface? What?
Yeah, I saw a meme the other day which said, if you ask a bloke how you're going and he says it's going, he's about to drive head-on into traffic. So, yeah, in this case, you do have to dig deeper if you want to get those answers, and that does take time. You know, people are often not going to be forthcoming with difficulties they have, and so you need to be able to sit with them, hold space, and, you know, actually ask these questions. And to show authenticity and that you care, you know, it can't be a flippant, quick, throwaway question as well. So I think the first thing is make time to connect with your people and dig deeper, otherwise it just won't happen.
Yeah, you know? And that make time is, there's a lot to that. And the underlying, I guess, philosophy is that switching your understanding of your role as a business owner. And so most of us, we've thought about our role as it's actually getting the work done. Like, we've got to get all the projects done and keep the clients happy and keep the money rolling in. And that's important. That's the role of the business for sure. But your role is really about, how do I get the people to do that?
Yeah.
And so if you're not spending time on the people, then it's not going to work because it's really their job to go and do the stuff.
Mm.
And that takes quite a mindset shift. And it might lead to things buggering up a few times as you go through that process. But it's absolutely critical, because if you don't shift your focus from how do I just get all the work done to how do I get my team to get the work done, you'll never grow a business that gives you the time, the money, and the freedom that you want.
Well, you'll never have the capacity. You can only scale your own self so far.
Right.
And so at some point, people need to be able to be doing the work, you know, instead of you, which means that your job is to make sure that they can do the work into a high level. And so that means that your whole job is really developing those people. It's really that simple. And as your business grows, it gets more and more that way. And until basically all you do is develop people. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, making time, I think the next thing is locking in. Well, what are we making time for? Like, what do these communication rhythms look like? So
yeah, you've hit it right there. It's about locking in communication rhythms, because Doing this stuff takes communication. It means you've got to have a, you know, conversation.
Yeah.
And so that's communication, but you have to make it a priority. So it's in the calendar, as you said, every single week. And so there's probably three things that you can start with, which will really make a difference here. Yeah. The first one is what we call the 20. And so we've talked about this on the pod before, probably several times. And that is, you spend 20 minutes each week having a coaching session with each one of your team members.
Your direct reports.
Now, if you've got managers, they'll do it with their direct reports. Obviously, if you've got a team of 50, you can't do 50 of these. This would be crazy, but it needs to happen. And that is a dedicated session for each team member to actually drill down into their job, how they're going, how they're tracking it in terms of their role, but also, is there anything else going on in the business or their life that you need to know about? Mm. And so we don't need to know about all those things we listed before, you know, clarity, right skills, confidence, mental health. We just need to be able to ask the questions. They'll tell us if we listen. Yeah. And so this is a forum, an opportunity to actually create that two-way dialogue where you can have the conversations to figure out what's actually going along below the surface. And even if you just spend that 20 minutes with them, and it's going to feel awkward as to start with, and we've got a bunch of templates and trainings that show people how to do this because it does take a bit of work, but you can just do it anyway. Just spending 20 minutes with someone and dedicating that time to them tells them that they are of value and that they are important.
Yeah.
You're actually giving them daddy time. That's how I used to talk about it. This is daddy time or mummy time if you're whatever. So that's the weekly 20 is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And then it's weekly team meetings. So that's a you know, bigger forum for the team. And then it's at least 6 monthly performance reviews, which is a dedicated time to sit down and talk about their performance and any issues that are coming up. And if you do those three things, that will make a huge difference. And it gives you the opportunity to actually dig below the surface, have the conversations, figure out what's going on, get to know them as a person, show them that you're concerned, show them that you're authentic, show them that you listen, show them that you're aware, and show them that you care. It makes a massive difference.
And then on top of this, the part that may come after it is if in the 20 you discover that there's something that they need extra help or assistance with, or that they need to, you know, spend more time talking about, or in the performance review or the likes, you know, you figure that there's an area that they actually need more training in, well, then you're going to need to make more time to actually provide that training or provide that guidance or talk to them about that issue. Because, I mean, again, if I open up an issue where you're having, you know, some serious mental health issues in your 20, and this comes out in minute number 16, and I'm like, we got 4 minutes to go, and I cut you off mid-yarn, that's not going to show I care. So, you know, in that case, in order to actually stick to your calendar, you're going to have other space available in your calendar, which is just available, because that may get filled with other meetings you have to have with your team that will surface from those three core ones. And so you do need to have that time available in order to make space for them to actually improve or to fix or troubleshoot the issues that they're having that are beneath the surface. Because talking about them for 2 minutes is cool, you've identified it, but then you need to actually make a, you know, concerted effort to help them with those things. Super important.
Yeah, I like to think those ad hoc meetings are where sometimes you just walk around as well. Like, a little bit of management by walking around doesn't hurt, and just checking in. And I call it reading the tea leaves. You're like, you listen and you hear what other people are saying about where people are at. And if you pick up anything, you just try and connect with them. And you don't just say, oh, well, I heard this, blah, 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 blah. You're like, hey, man, how's it going? You know, sort of just open up the lines of communication. And if you're smart, which everyone listening is, you can sometimes just dig down to where they're at. So it's that awareness. It's actually an approach and a philosophy to management, as well as those set meeting times, which makes a huge difference.
The key with that is what mindset you're in when you ask those questions, because it's easy to walk past someone and say, hey, how was your weekend? And what you're really saying is, I wanted to say more than hi, but I'm not going to have a conversation and I'm walking straight past you. Please don't even answer. Just say good, or otherwise I'm going to have to run. So like, that's one mindset. But on the other hand, if I walk past and say, hey, how was your weekend? And I stop and actually actively listen to your answer, then I might notice when you say, oh, yeah, it was okay. And then I'm able to say, oh, okay? Like, what, tell me more, man, what happened? And then you're going to open up. Whereas if I walk past and say, hey, how was your weekend? And my intention was to keep walking, and you say, oh, it was okay, I'm going to be like, cool, sounds great, man, and keep walking, and I miss what's there. So I think it's just making sure that, you know, you understand that when you're walking around and just asking those questions, it's like you're asking them because you do want an answer, and you actively listen to that answer. And then you'll notice that actually a lot of the time they're trying to open a door to talk about more. But you might be missing that at the moment if you're not approaching it that way. So it's important.
This is important too, because if you are doing that, asking the question and not really wanting the answer or not finding the time to deal with the answer, that's a check for yourself as a leader that your priorities aren't quite in the right position yet, because your job is to actually deal with a lot of that stuff. And I know it's hard when you've got prices to do and jobs coming at your ears and you've got fires to fight, but remember your role as a leader is to grow your team.
Yeah,
and really getting below the surface and getting them moving forward is a key part of that. They'll then crack on and make all those other things happen for you. So
that's right.
It may be that your calendar is too jammed up with the amount of time that you need to actually do the job that's most important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've got some great stuff here, so should we land this plane?
Let's do it. Great leadership requires you to go deep with your people's thoughts, feelings, emotions, and struggles. Now, when you get this right, productivity and profits skyrocket, your turnover falls, and most importantly, you build a team that you can trust to run the business, meaning you can create freedom for yourself and opportunities for your team. Now, it does take work, but the effort is so worth it. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later. Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Excuses come in many shapes and sizes, and there is one excuse that I hear all the time that's stopping business owners from achieving the success that they want and that they deserve. Now, this excuse is cunning, and it doesn't really look like an excuse, but it is. Now, tune into this episode where we bust open how dangerous the "my business is different" and the "that won't work here because" mindsets are, and why you must bust through these excuses. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.